MNA. Woo. So, what? No. Erica said she wasn't. Okay. So we're putting this in boobs, but you're like.
I know.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's fine. Thank you. What's the topic?
Just your women.
Oh, okay. Women. Okay. Hi. I'm an addict. My name's Brandy.
Hi, Brandy.
Hi.
Hi, Freda.
So yeah, I came up here to support my sponsee and. And right, because this is my least favorite thing to do. Like, I don't like to come up here and speak and tell on myself and like get gut level honest and tell you what's really going on. I just like to look like I got everything together, and that's more safe for me, right? Most importantly, my clean date is what the most important thing I can say is August 2nd, 2001. Yeah. Yeah. I know I've been here for a minute, but you know, I didn't want to stay. I got here and I said I was going to give myself a year. But what I've learned is, like, through step work and some things, like, I have some defects, right? And so one of them is I'm patiently petty. I'm vindictive, right? And I'm competitive, right? So I remember being in rehab and my parents were there. And we were in our therapy session, and my mother says, I got this the first time. And I said, well, fuck it, me too, you know? And because I've always been in direct competition with my mother. We've always been very competitive. And so that's just, you know, it. But I will, you know, tell you how I qualify. I qualify by use to live and live to use. That's it, you know? And I heard another woman share previously about how I didn't think I had a story, you know, to share or to talk about my experiences because I didn't get high on the hill. I didn't get high in Homewood. I wasn't, like, you know, having children. I wasn't a street walker, right? So I really didn't think I belonged. You know, my rehab roommate was a heroin addict and she annoyed the fuck out of me because she was sick and, you know, all the things. And so, like, and I didn't do dope, right? And I was a pill popping, you know, addict. I thought it was cute. Like, I was, you know, I'm better than you because I didn't shoot dope or, you know, but I did smoke crack because I put it in my weed, but I never wanted to talk about that, right? So, and like, the longer I stay here, I realize how fucked up I really am. And I really didn't need drugs to make these decisions. Never. I made them because of behaviors that I acquired. And a lot of the things, like, our parents are our first sponsor, so I learned how to maneuver and navigate certain things and what my reaction would be and how to manipulate, how to get over. And I remember I was always given misinformation. My mother always told me that, you know, what you got between your legs is a gold mine and pussy sells when still won't. Don't come home with a wet ass and no cigarettes. Like, all the things she told me, I believed and I bought into. So relationships, like, the, you know, like Michelle was sharing about, is always painful for me. I'm the problem. It's not them. It's me. I'm the fucking problem, man. Like, because I don't know how to, I feel entitled to a lot of shit. That's another thing. I'm entitled, right? So through Narcotics Anonymous, if you want anything, you could have it in here. Like, you can get a degree, get married, get your fucking kids back, start businesses. You know, you can have it all and you can lose it all clean. Right? And so, like, I've learned that, like, my struggle with relationships is that I like dudes who sell drugs or in the street. I like a street nigga for real. Like, that's just who I am. Because of what goes with it, right? I love the, you're doing something illegal and, you know, all the things. I can't do jail time, so that's number one. Number two, I don't like the consequences that come with that, which are the infidelity, you know, you talking to me like shit, we're not spending holidays together because you're fucking somebody, all the things that go with that, clean. I'm not using, I'm fucking clean. Money, property, and prestige will always divert me from my own primary purpose. You know, if I look good, then everything is good. I always look put together. My first sponsor told me that, you know, some women don't like you because you're put together. Right, but I'm fucked up. I'm fucked up. I'm irresponsible. I got low self-esteem. I never feel like I'm thin enough. I never feel like I'm pretty enough. I never feel like I'm smart enough. All the things, man. I don't feel good. It's fucked up. I'm comparing myself to you with your outsides to my insides, and you know, and then I'm jealous. Why does she got that and I ain't got that? But all the things that happen, and then the paranoia sets in, because if I see two women whispering when I walk by, my disease tell me they're talking shit on me, and that, we're not coming back to that fucking meeting. Fuck that. Meanwhile, those two women weren't even talking about me. I'm really not that important. They don't give a fuck. Really. But I always have to be mentally prepared. Like, it's just a constant thing for me. Just recently, I got laid off from my job. And this was my dream job. I wanted this job. I got my degree in here. I always had to work two jobs. And finally, I got the job that paid me well enough that I didn't have to work a part-time job, right? Because I take care of my mother. I always wanted to do that. I was raised to be very, very independent. You don't depend on nobody. And be strong. I'm tired of being strong. Tired. Fucking tired. You know, I've learned to cry in my shower because I have a little boy. I had a baby in here. He's 12. My identity has always been with my career and KJ's mom. Those are my two identities. And Kathy's daughter. My mom don't care if I break her anonymity. Because people come up to me all the time, "You're Kathy's daughter." My mouth is so dry. And I'm like, you know, I'm who I am. That's me. You know what I mean? I'm my own person. But I recently got laid off from my job. I was there for 5 years. And thank you so much. Thanks, Julie. And I was there for 5 years. And I was a client manager for a software company. I made the most money I've ever made in my whole fucking life. I was so proud of that because I'm the only one on my mom's side of the family that graduated from college. How about that? And I was always self-made. I didn't rely on nobody else to get me jobs. I got them on my own. And like, that may sound arrogant, but at the end of the day, that's my reality though. Didn't nobody get me a job. I got it on my own. On my mom's side of the family, that stands, that holds weight because nobody went to college. I remember being a little girl and my mom was with my stepdad. And he used to berate my mom and accost her for shit. And it was a very tumultuous relationship. And they constantly argued all the time. And I remember this one particular time, she had spent some money she wasn't supposed to. And I shut my door and I hear my dad yelling. And I sat on my bed and I said, that's not gonna be me. I'm gonna go to college. I'm gonna do something with myself. Cause I'm not gonna depend on no fucking man. I'm not a man hater. I just feel like I'm entitled to what they got. Because I lay down with you. If I give you my cookie, then you gotta pay me. That's how I feel. But that's not healthy and that's not reality, right? I can't continue living like that because I'm never going to find that person that God has for me. I identify with what Michelle was talking about when she said, you know, when someone's kind to me, tells me I'm beautiful, you're smart, all the things. He's a loser. He's weird as fuck. I don't want to talk to him. There's something wrong with him. Why is he saying that? But the dude who treats me like shit, I love him forever. Why is that? Still at 24 years clean and I'm 40 fucking seven. At some point we have to grow up, right? The little girl has to grow up. I have to nurture myself. I can't always rely on outside things. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I didn't because I did. Sometimes I still do. I will shop my ass off. Shop. And have fucking fashion shows in my house by myself. Someone was talking about being on time because again, I was taught these things in our car to be on time, you know, do the, I suck at being on time. That's so self-centered to me. It's all about Brandy and I'll get there when I get there. Fuck are you, right? Like all the things, and I'm learning this about myself and don't take, listen, I'm not bashing myself. I know exactly who I am. I'm still learning. But really, the more that I work steps and know who the fuck I am, then that keeps a disease, right? You gotta be on guard for the on-guarded moment, right? So on-guarded moment. So like, I can hear my disease and I know what Brandy's capable of. I understand what's happening here. When I start to get, when I say, look here, or listen, when I start getting, I cock up, it's a wrap. I'm about to do something. Meanwhile, that's caused me a lot of relationships. Like, a lot of people didn't want to be around me. You know, my mouth is smart. You know, Brandy's mean. I was a mean girl. Like, all these things. But I had to grow up in Narcotics Anonymous. And today, who I am as a woman that stands before you today, I'm here to tell you that I used to cry and I couldn't say it without crying. But I'm a good fucking mom. I'm a kick-ass mom.
Yeah.
I'm a kick-ass mom. Like, but I appreciate that, but I learned that from the women in here because they talked about what they did and what not to do. And I did that. I did that. I have conversations with my son. I fall short because I used to holler at him. Sit down. Get over here. Until one day, he had a panic attack because he missed the bus. And he was scared to call me to tell me because of how my reaction is. I didn't like how that felt, man. I'm not using, I told you, I haven't used. So these are behaviors, but I have to remember I was raised like that. That doesn't make it right, but that's what I saw. So I thought that that was okay. And I didn't realize how it was affecting my son. He was afraid to tell me he missed a fucking bus. You would have thought I would lose my mind over shit, but I had to understand too, like, I'm always in the mode of provide and protect. That's it. Provide, protect. Tell me what the problem is and how I can fix it. I don't want to know nothing else. So I told you I got laid off from my job. I haven't got my unemployment. There's so many factors to that we don't even need to get into. But it caused me to be angry and bitter. And it also caused me to start looking at motherfuckers that got the unemployment as a certain kind of way. Like, what? And then I start to personalize it. That they picked my social out of everybody in this West Pennsylvania to fuck up. That's part of my disease, self-centeredness. And like, again, I will always personalize things. I go down a rabbit hole and I can't get out of. But that's why I have a we who talks me off the ledge. Lets me know you're not that important, Brandon. This wasn't you. They didn't just pick your name. So, my son's father, I met him at the Anala Club.
Nice.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I met him, and when I saw him, he's handsome. He's tall. He's, you know what I mean? Dark, handsome, all that. And he had a job. And he was my age. And, like, you know, he said he had 30 days. I had 7 years, but guess what? He had one day. Because through our relationship, he used the whole time. I get pregnant, we have our son, my son comes early, I contracted E. coli, and he was born, you know, 1 pound, 13 ounces. He spent 100 days in the NICU, and to this day, there is nothing wrong with my baby. He's all good, yeah. Right? Yeah. So, like, me and my son's father have always had a tumultuous relationship. He can't stay clean, he struggles. And we've always fought about money, child support. It's always been that, and he brings up relations. It's a whole thing. Right? It's a whole thing. I always am envious of a bitch who her co-parenting is fucking perfect. We meet, we're going on vacations. No, that ain't happening over here. We ain't doing none of that shit over here. It's always a fucking problem. So, like, you know, I've always had this, I told you I'm very competitive, and I remember him telling me, you want to be a single mom, I'll show you what it's like. I said, all right. So I've always been so competitive and, like, I'm going to just work and grind and do whatever my son ain't going to want for shit. He did it, all the things. It's always caused me nothing but pain because I'm tired. And I'm tired of being strong. I told you that. I'm tired. I want to get in touch with my feminine air. But so I've never had a good relationship with my son's father. So I get a call the other day from my son's father's father. So Doug calls me and says, I didn't want to involve you, but I wanted to let you know that, you know, my son's father's name's Kendrick. So he's like, Kendrick's using. And I said, okay. He said, but he needs help. And so when I asked him, who does he trust to help him? He said, you. So I called him. And he said to me, can you help me? And I said, yes. You need to know that I only do that because of what you guys taught me to do with the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. That's without parallel. I'm calling him, we're keeping in contact. He's very erratic, he's fucked up. And I keep telling him, I'll go with you to treatment. And guess what, he's not in treatment right now. But I'm still willing and open to help him. Because at the end of the day, he's just like me. Yes, he's my son's father. All the things. But he's an addict and he's sick and suffering. So like, that's my job. And this ain't my first rodeo with him with this. But that's because I love Narcotics Anonymous. I believe in the mission. I believe in what it says. I fight sometimes. I buck it. I don't always. I think my God forgets about me. You know? And then I hear my old sponsor say, when I say, why me? She would always say, why not you? I remember my sponsor telling me recently, she's like, everything that you go through is for another woman. I was at a convention and a woman was sharing and she said her baby came early. She's in school. Her dad, the baby's dad was using, she, all the things. And I said, me too. That was me. And I'm here to tell you it gets better. I love that. I absolutely love that. Because sometimes I need to hear and see still. You know, as I've been here for a minute, it's still like, I still need to see the evidence because there's other shit that happens. And I don't like when someone says it ain't about using. It's always about using for me. Yeah. That's the end result for me. Yeah. I never liked how I felt. I never liked how I looked. But I thought I found it in drugs, right? Yeah. But that's not real. That's not true. I always have this imposter syndrome about I'm not smart enough and all these things. And when people say, because I never was told that. Remember, my parents got clean when I was 9. So they weren't able to tell me, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're kind, all that shit. They didn't tell me none of that shit. So me growing up here, I learned I am those things. I'm a good person. I have a good heart and I love hard and long. And if you're my friend, we're locked in. But once you violate some type of trust that I have, I can't fuck with you no more. But what I'm learning is to have conversations. Because I grew up with a grudge-holding family. My parents held listen, my dad still hates my mother for fucking 20 years. They've been divorced for 30 years. He still brings up shit from fucking then. So it's a long line of grudges. And I've been taught that, and I always felt comfortable with holding a grudge. Fuck you, bitch. I don't care. We don't got to talk, not never, ever. All that. That's immature though, right? That's not being a woman. That's not the integrity that I wanted to leave and present for myself. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but you get sick and tired of being sick and tired of your fucking self. You know? Sick and tired of that shit. Is it really that serious, Brad? Who cares? Hug them anyway and move on. Because they don't give a fuck. I'm the one balled up when I see them. All that shit, man. Like. At the end of the day, I don't want to die the same way I was. I want to die the best version of myself. And I want my son to see how his mom is a good, like, I'm a good person, and he can pick up on those traits, not holding grudges. I had to, listen, when my son does something to me, I have to tell myself, he's your child, you still talk. I grew up in a house where I would make a mistake, I'd get in trouble, my parents wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't fucking, and they're clean. They wouldn't talk to me. I was comfortable with that. But when I saw what it does to my son, I said, oh no, we can't live like, so guess what? I'm gonna still talk to you. I'm angry. Give me my space. Narcotics Anonymous is teaching me how to raise my son. I'm not, there's books and shit, but this place is helping me raise him. And they taught me that when my baby's dad would want to get my son, I still would send the Pampers and formula, because know this, I wasn't trying to send that shit. Fuck you to you, Bob yourself. And I remember one of my close friends telling me, that's your child. You don't want them to suffer. Send the fucking shit. I sent it. I sent it. There's, you know, women sick with women, you know, and men sick with men. But I have some men in my life that we don't fuck. We don't have the desire to fuck. We're not, that's not that type of party. Their wives know who I am, and they're okay with their husband talking to me on the phone. Because that was something I the integrity that I built that on. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you I had a fucking married man. I did when I had 6 months clean. Guess what? He kept me clean for the next 6 months. I got a year off that motherfucker. But what happened was, well, God will have it, was when his wife came up to me in a meeting and said, I liked what you had to share. Can I get your phone number? I called my sponsor. I said, should I tell her I've been fucking her husband? She said, absolutely not. Our ninth step talks about to injure them or others. We're not going to do that. I can create harm. She said, so what you can do is don't do it no more. I got clean label fucking married men. And I don't fuck boyfriends either. Because I ask questions. Are you in a relationship? No. Well, are you with a woman who thinks she's in a relationship with you? That's the other one. That's the caveat to that, right? We gotta dig a little deeper. Because it was question asked, question answered. I got no woman. Cool. I would find out later, yes, he did. So I said, let me just change that up a little bit. That works for me. So no one has to feel weird about or insecure about me being around, you know, their man. Here's another thing I learned coming through Narcotics Anonymous. When I first got here, a lot of black women weren't really hep to me. Didn't want to fuck with me because I'm light skinned and how my hair is. And that's a culture thing, right? That's in our community. And I didn't understand it because I grew up in an area where it was predominantly white. And my mother's Mexican and my dad's black. So, like, I didn't fit in with the white girls because they said that my lips were too big and all the things. And then the black girls that went, they said I was white, right? So I struggled with that. And then coming here, it was a segregation that I wasn't prepared for. So as recovery is, and how I work things and how I navigate things and how I was able to stand up for myself, because that's part of recovery. Like Michelle said, standing up for yourself, stand on a principle. Check this out, that's your shit, that ain't mine. That's it. That's your shit. Because I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. I can't help it that I'm light skinned. The fuck? I can't help none of that shit. But what I can help is how you treat me and how I'm gonna treat you. Mm-hmm. You know? I had a hard time meeting women too. I had a hard time because I was young. I was 23 when I got this motherfucker. I used to not be able to wear a bra and shit. I was getting it. As age will have it, you know, certain things change. I don't ever knock the girl with her ass out, belly, show it. Get it. Because you're going to get old like me, bitch. And you ain't going to be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to be able to do it. But that's okay. Get it now. And I'll compliment a woman. You got a nice body. Like, you know what I mean? You look good. Without nothing. I'm happy for her. Because I remember. Remember, man, nobody prepares you for aging and recovery. We have those topics at conventions, but check this out. How about going through menopause? Nobody talks about that shit. How I'm crazy as fuck. How any moment I'm angry and the next minute I love you, I'm so sorry. All that. Crying at commercials and shit. Just not no gaining weight out of nowhere. The sleep, I don't get no sleep. The anxiety, fuck. No one talks about that. And what's so crazy is my mother didn't share that information with me. We both had fibroids and she never told me that. We're in the same house getting periods, but she never said anything to me about my fibroids and hers. We didn't talk about it. I learned about periods through a book. Hi God, it's me, Margaret. Then when I wanted to know about sex, we learned it from, where do I come from? I'd read the book and she said, if you have questions, you know, ask. I didn't. Today with my son, I caught him looking at porn on his phone. I had to have that conversation. You know how comfortable that was for me? So now we have it where I said, if you can't say porn, then you can't watch it. So say it. He doesn't say it because he's uncomfortable. You know, and I had those talks with, like, you know, hey, you know, you don't, if you're going to watch it, that's something that's okay. But right now you can't, you're too young and you never watch it with other people. That's weird. You don't let them do that with you. Something you do by yourself, you know. I enjoy being my son's mother. That's a gift of recovery, man. Like, I literally enjoy being his mom. Like, I love my son. I never thought I could love another human being the way that I love my fucking son. I love him. I was just sharing with somebody today about, you know, I remember wishing my son would get older. I used to just wish, I can't wait till he's old enough to do this and this and this. And this woman at a meeting came up to me and said, don't do that because you'll regret it. And my first instinct was like, fuck her. She don't know what she's talking about. Da, 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 da. She'll know my story, all that. Guess what? I miss my son being little. I miss him being little, man. He needed me. Mommy, I sleep with you. Mommy, hold me. I text him. It's like a fucking crush. When he calls me, I'm excited. Hi, what's up? What do you need? What do you want? You love me? You love me, right? Love you. But guess what? I was told by the, you know, people in this fellowship that guess what? He's doing what he's supposed to do. You're teaching him to be independent, Brandy. That's what you want. And it's right. I do. I want him to be independent. I want him to be able to stand on his own and not depend on a woman in that magnitude, right? I want him to be that way. To leave, go, whatever. That's what I'm wanting him to do. He's going into sixth grade. And I told you I lost my job. And, you know, these programs that they have, that's just, it's crazy to me. And I don't understand how people can live like that. Because I'm in that position now, waiting on a motherfucking check is not my story. But God's teaching me patience and tolerance and having faith that I waver. Because again, I told you, I think my God forgets about me. But he doesn't. He doesn't forget. He hasn't forgot. It's just that I need, there's a lesson in this I have to learn. I took it personal when I got laid off. So it was just me. It's always about me. Ends with me, ends with me. And that wasn't the case. They laid off the whole department. Even though I heard that that's not what I perceived as reality. I always ask people, what did I hear? What did you hear me say? That's part of communication. That's part of learning how to communicate direct, like having that type of, I learned that here. I saw women doing that. And they would do it to me. Brandy, what did you hear me say? I heard you say you didn't like me. No, I just said it's time to go. And that. Because my thinking is distorted, man. Like, my thinking is so fucked up. It's utterly crazy and ridiculous. But at the end of the day, I'm so glad I can come here and talk to you all and everyone can identify. Because you're not alone. I used to think I was alone, but our literature talks about that shit too. Like, we are not alone. Being dating in here, having seen them fuck other bitches, and then be with the bitch, and then you gotta go to the meeting, and you gotta be like, yeah, all of that. I've been there, done that. Fuck. You know? Seen some shit, done some shit. But today, like, and I'm not gonna sit here and tell you I don't fall short. I fall short, man. I do. I probably admit when, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And I mean it for real. I mean what I say. I enjoy this process. I enjoy, you know, being a mom, being a daughter. That's another thing. No one prepared me for when my mom gets sick. My mom had two strokes and a heart attack. No one prepared me for that. Because I didn't have acceptance with how she really, her physical, you know, limitations. I don't like looking at my mom like that. It's hard. It's also hard helping the same people that caused you trauma. That's hard. I love my mother. I learned through this process how to forgive her because she was only giving me what she had. So, like, I had to forgive her in order for me to forgive my mother. I'm able to be the daughter that God wants me to be for her. I remember my sponsor saying, if you're going to give your mom money, then you can't be asking her what the fuck she's doing with it. So I go, because I don't get a resentment. Take it. Fuck it. Even if she's unmanageable with money, so am I. I was taught that. Nobody told me how to manage it. I'm not in denial to think I can't learn. I'm just letting you know right now that sometimes that shit's comfortable. Ignorance is bliss. So, like, me helping my mother out, you know, it does make me feel good. Proud that I can help her. And I didn't get it from no man, right? Because that's all I wanted. I never wanted to be in the same type of relationship my mother was in because she depended on my father. for every, she worked, didn't fucking matter. She depended on him because she couldn't make it on her own. I didn't want to be in that position. I know today, like, what God has revealed to me is, like, all the things that you and your mom went through, when it's time for her to go home, none of that shit's going to matter because I'm only going to let you remember all the good shit. All that petty shit, going back and forth with her. I set boundaries. Cal, I don't want to talk about it right now. I'm good. I'll call you back later. You know, and then she'll rage text me. I don't respond. I'm not trying to hurt her feelings. I don't want to go down that nasty, bitter road of destruction with my mom, bringing up shit that I was born in 1978, and I'm going back to 78. I'm going back there. I don't do that no more. I see how she is with my son. They have a great relationship. She loves my son. She's a great grandmother. She wasn't a good mom, but she was a good grandmother. She's a great grandmother. And that's okay too. You know? But those are things that I deal with, and it's hard because I don't talk about them at meetings. So not everybody talks about how their mom, you know, is aging and you don't have acceptance with that. I hate that shit. I hate it because I don't want her to die. I hear other women and men talking about they lost their mother, and guess what? They get through it, they don't use all those things. I don't have a reservation. I'm just saying, like, I don't want that. Imagine she gets on my nerves. Because when it all fails, she's there. You know, I'm just grateful that I've been hearing this, like, you know, going through everything and not using, that's the key. Because it ain't going to be rainbows and blowjobs in here. It's always going to be something.
Oh, I'm using that one.
Always, it is. It's always going to be something. It's never going to be the way that I think it's going. All that shit, man, it's never going to be like that. But as long as I don't use, right? And sometimes, you know, when I get to the end of the road, sometimes that's just not good enough, though. Because I know better. Some things I know and I shouldn't do it, but it's fun. It's fun sometimes. But then again, there's a consequence, right? It's a vicious cycle. But I still wouldn't give this seat up for nobody. I deserve it. You deserve it. No matter what, I don't give a fuck what you do. I don't care if you're stealing checks or you're fucking, you know, cheating. I don't give a fuck. Just don't get high. Because that... It's over. None of us are guaranteed. I learned that working in treatment. You know? And even with my son's father. Because here's the tip. People say, I really appreciate it. That's so kind. And I said, don't tell me that. Because that's not why I'm doing it. I'm only doing it because it's what I was taught to do. It has nothing to do with me as this person. I don't like getting those type of pats on the backs for shit I'm supposed to do, I feel like. Like, I'm supposed to help him. He's one of us, man. Like, it don't matter about all the other shit. What matters is I don't want you to die. Because I want someone to help me. You know? I have a home group. I have a sponsor. My sponsor still goes to meetings. I pray in the shower. I don't get on my knees. I pray in the shower. For whatever reason, I believe in my mind that the water does something. So that's how I pray. I work steps. I still attend meetings. Not Zoom. I still attend meetings. I'll get on a Zoom if I need to, but I still attend fucking meetings because meeting makers make it. This shit still makes sense. I need to see you. You need to see me. I gotta touch you. You gotta touch me. I need all of that. I need the person talking in the back. I need to see the bitch run up to the coffee. I need all of that. Because something spiritual happens in here. And I need that. I hope I never get to the place where I stop coming. You know what I mean? We see so much of that, Roberta, that people stop coming, man. I don't want that. I want to keep coming no matter what. I'm fucking coming to a meeting. And the other thing is I love about is, like, my friends, we talk about recovery. It's recovery based. It won't even know it. But that's what our language is. So that's what we're talking about. We're getting into solutions and shit. You know? I love that. And I have friends outside of here of recovery. Yeah. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying, like, my life is a lot different. It's always recovery based. To a degree. You might see my giant eagle cutting up, but maybe tap me, reel me in, you know. But no, I was really shocked by this. I don't like doing this shit ever. It's not my jam, but I'm grateful that I had the opportunity. It's always an honor to speak, right? And to share your experience, strength, and hope. And so, you know, it's an honor for me always, right? And I'm not above not going to other places like treatment centers. Thanks for letting me share.
Right. I'd like to thank both the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Can we form a circle? And we'll close with the serenity prayer.
Oh, yeah.